This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Eventful day at Panthers training camp, and I guess this is, what, day six? I don't know how many days it is. Vashti Hurt, CarolinaBlitz.com, at Keep Blitzin' on Twitter. Vashti, not with an I-E, like Robbie Anderson is now I-E, Robbie, caught a touchdown pass from Baker Mayfield today. Did that get everybody going?
It got everybody going. It was about a 50-yard bomb from Baker to Robbie, who caught the touchdown pass in double coverage. So, one, it was good to see for Panthers fans to see a quarterback air it out. And two, for Robbie Anderson, who had a case of the dropsies last season, to catch one. Ironically, from Baker Mayfield, who he wasn't necessarily a fan of coming initially. So
right.
A lot of storylines in that catch, right?
There really were. And you say dropsies, also I.E. Maybe Robbie Anderson is just attacking his fears all there. By the way, if you want to see the touchdown pass, which was epic from Mayfield to Robbie Anderson, you can go to @KeepBlitzin on Twitter. And an hour ago, it posted on Vashti Hurt's timeline. This is the Adam Gold Show. Vashti Hurt is at Panthers camp. Both quarterbacks got picked today. Frankie Louvu, I think, got Mayfield earlier. Again, we're not declaring a winner. Has one taken a step ahead of the other at this point?
I think so. And I think at this point, if there's a step, there's a slight step, and it would be Baker Mayfield, only because he's been more consistent in the red zone. And that's an area where the Panthers have struggled defensively and offensively. But Baker has been better in the red zone, and Baker has also, you know, not been the check down king, as you know, we saw in that pass to Robbie Anderson. He's definitely been more willing to air it out. And I think that those explosive plays, another thing which the Panthers are trying to look to increase, those chunk plays that they just haven't had under Darnold. So if there was a slight edge, I think that Baker is trying to start distancing himself. Not all the way, but he's making strides.
Vashti Hurt is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. And this is what I've been talking about the last couple of days. To me, and I'm doing this from afar, you have a much closer view, but I want your thoughts on this. There are two things that I think that Mayfield has over Sam Darnold that I don't believe Sam can change. The first is, on the field, the willingness to put himself out there, to push the ball down the field. Sam is much more conservative as a quarterback than Mayfield is, which could work for you at some point. But I like the aggressiveness of Mayfield. And the other thing is that Baker has a presence that Sam doesn't. Your thoughts on those two angles?
You're absolutely correct. And I was speaking about this earlier. To me, it's mental, right? So an analogy is, you know, you have two people. One could be average, but have confidence. And then you could have someone who is extremely attractive, but no confidence. The one with the confidence is always going to beat out the latter. So Baker Mayfield has the confidence and swag of somebody who could walk in the club and pull everybody in there. Sam Darnold is the one who's sitting back on the wall just hoping to be asked to dance. So those are the two differences between those guys. And to me, it's mental. And with that comes Baker's willingness to say, okay, I'm just going to put it up there and hope one of these good receivers that the Panthers have is going to be able to come up with the ball. And yeah, I absolutely believe that is. Because statistically, they really aren't too far off. Mm-mm. Baker, of course, is better. But statistically, they don't, I mean, not leaps and bounds. But to me, that mental is the biggest difference between the two of these guys.
Yeah, there's a presence about Baker that is noticeable. Hopefully, at some point, his performance can sort of catch up to that. They're better off with Mayfield, especially if Cleveland is the team. You know, they're the opener. I mean, I can't imagine Baker Mayfield's not going to start game one, but we'll see what happens as we get there. You mentioned the receivers. Robbie Anderson obviously catches the touchdown pass, that long one that is on your timeline. But Terrace Marshall has also sort of taken a step forward. Is he going to step in front of Robbie Anderson, or is he going to be a third wheel?
You know, that's the biggest question. Terrace has all the intangibles. He has, of course, size over Robbie Anderson, not quite the speed, but he has the size and the presence. And, quarterbacks like big targets. Opposite of DJ, who is a smaller guy, I can see that. I can see Terrace challenging Robbie at this point for that number two position. But you also have Rashard Higgins, who is with Baker mm-hmm. in Cleveland. So they have a pretty good receiver room, guys who are able to make plays. But I wouldn't be surprised. You know, somebody said, oh, is Terrace the training camp MVP? That is not a label you want on this team. So I wouldn't go that far. But I do think that he is taking a step forward this season.
Vashti Hurd is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. On the defensive side of the ball, there was a lot of excitement because we saw J.C. Horn on the field. And I know Sam Darnold did some trash talk yesterday. I don't know if J.C. Horn was impressed or not, addressing both things, how has J.C. looked on the field?
So JC is on the field. He's going through warm-ups and individual drills with the DBs, but he hasn't really gotten any action. I asked him about that just a little while ago in the pressers, and he said, you know, they're working him back bit by bit. So, you know, he's looking smooth in his transitions, and he's looking like, you know, the JC, the guy who's a big corner, but is smooth with how he moves. But that's just in drills. We haven't seen any live action with him, and I don't think we probably will until maybe next week.
Now, I want to see J.C. Horn play. A shutdown corner can be an absolute catalyst to that entire defense. Speaking of that, Frankie Louvu made a big play today. Is there the notion that maybe Frankie Louvu plays a bigger role than they anticipated?
In his defense, and with the departure of Hassan.
Uh-oh. Ruh-roh. Can we try that? We try to hook back up with Vashti, because she's not there right now, right? We will try to reconnect with Vashti. She's going through a difficult. I don't know if it's raining. Oh, we got Vashti back. Are you back? I don't know.
Hello,
there you are.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I don't know.
It's okay. It's all right. Technology is not great.
I got cut off.
It's all right. Technology is not awesome. If we had to do, like, if planes had the same technology as cell coverage, we wouldn't ever fly anywhere. About Frankie Louvu, big play today, and I think a lot is expected, although I don't know that they expect him to be a mainstay on defense. What's your read?
I do think they expect him to be a mainstay. I think they expect him to be one of the leaders in that linebacking, among that linebacking core, and also try to fill some of the void that was lost when Hassan Billy. Rushing abilities, but expected to play a big role in this in the defense. Their success is. Season.
All right, final question for Vashti Hurd. We are having a couple of technical issues here. What's the plan going forward with the quarterbacks? Is one of them going to get the bulk of the one, you know, snaps with the ones tomorrow? Has Matt Rhule talked about a different division of duties?
They're going to continue to split reps. And then they're also going to split reps among the first group. So still more of the same.
Okay.
No one guy taking more snaps with the ones than the other. They're trying to be fair, and I think that will continue up into and probably through some of these preseason games.
All right. Well, stay cool in Spartanburg, Vashti. You're awesome. At Keep Blitzing on Twitter, all the latest videos and all of that at CarolinaBlitz.com. We'll talk very soon.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
You got it. Thank you. Adam Gold in studio with my friend, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right. Absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Dennis Cox is not only the producer of this program, he also does a podcast called Culture State. And he does that with our friend Chris Lee, sports TV anchor, reporter, guru, WRAL TV5, also a former professional wrestler. And when I realized after the fact that Ric Flair dragged his 70-plus-year-old body back up into the ring for one final time, I thought, we should really talk to Chris about this. He has made himself available to talk about the final match for Ric Flair. It was a tag team match. I was so surprised that Ric Flair won. Were you surprised that Ric Flair won his final match?
You know what? Honestly, it wouldn't have surprised me if he didn't, just knowing Ric Flair and hear Flair for the dramatics, no pun intended, probably wanting to cry in front of the crowd and everything like that. So, I don't know. It could have gone either way, but I'm surprised he didn't try to make it a big deal with him losing.
I mean, he bled. Or did he?
Yeah.
Did he really bleed?
He bled. You know, of course it was assisted, but he bled.
It's probably like when I was a kid growing up, and I am significantly older than you, sir. I'm not significantly older than Ric Flair. I am not as old as Ric Flair. But when I was growing up, Flair was popular, but I think there were other guys. I mean, I grew up in the Jimmy Snuka days, the Bob Backlund, Bruno Sammartino, those guys, before it became like a real soap opera show. What did Flair, you know, to somebody who was in it, what did Flair mean to somebody like you?
You know, honestly, when I first started wrestling, it was like in 2012 when I started training. And it made me look at wrestling in a different way. Before, when I was just a fan, Ric Flair was the guy that I booed, you know, because he was always going up against Hulk Hogan or Sting or, you know, anybody else that I liked and didn't like him. And then I started watching his matches, and I started noticing that the mastery that he was putting on and why he was able to get people to hate him. I mean, that's a skill. But he was so dislikable that he was likable to a lot of people. And so I think that was what it kind of meant to me, is just being able to learn how, what he was doing in the ring, his actions, facial expressions, his character, all of it was very greatly planned. And you have some sort of connection to him, whether you didn't like him or you did like him. You liked him in some way where you wanted to see him fail, to see him succeed. And he got you hooked in that way on purpose. So I think that's what I took from it.
So you started in 2012. I mean, I'm assuming the answer is no, but you never wrestled Flair, right?
No, not at all. I think after his last match before this was maybe like 2010 or something like that.
See?
But he was defunct for a while.
It was theoretically it was possible.
I guess it could have been. Yeah.
Again, it's hard to quantify what he has meant, because we can play around with this all day long, but he touched so many different things. Like in the last 15 or 20 years, he's probably been more a pop culture icon than a wrestling icon. No.
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was one of the most interesting places I've seen Ric Flair was when he showed up in a music video from the Migos, the rap group the Migos. And it was just like Ric Flair in his robe, and he's wooing all over the place with these, 21, 22, 23-year-old rappers from Atlanta. Like, it was perfect. It was perfect to see. So that definitely shows that he is a pop culture icon.
I could actually see Ric Flair rapping with Migos, because it's got a great vibe and it's kind of mellow. I think he'd do a great job with them.
You know, Macho Man recorded a rap album, didn't you?
Did he really?
He did. There is a rap album that he recorded maybe a couple years before he passed away. It wouldn't surprise me either if Ric Flair did the same.
I talked to Randy Savage, has to be 20 years ago. They came out of WrestleMania or something here in Raleigh. And we got Randy Savage on the show, and the voice was the same, even off the air. Like before, he didn't even have to go in a character. That voice was that voice. One of the most distinctive things I've ever heard. How can Flair? Final thing about this, and then I'm gonna ask you something about the Panthers. How can does Flair still have influence in the game today?
Oh, of course. I think the wrestling style is definitely different from when Flair was in his heyday. But a lot of the guys do take elements of his character, elements of his ring style, and they incorporate it to how they do it. I mean, anybody that's ever going to come out with a robe or something sparkly on probably got the idea from Ric Flair from this generation. I know there were others before Flair who did it, but he was the one who kind of, made that popular for this generation of guys. So he's definitely going to have influence for a while. He's one of those guys that will probably go down as one of the GOATs, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. Who had the best wrestling finishing move?
Ooh, I wasn't ready for that one.
I'm sorry. I'm going back to my, again, back when I watched when I was a kid. We had Dusty Rhodes. I think it was the Atomic Elbow. I was a big fan of Dusty Rhodes. I think Stan the Man Stasiak with the heart punch. That sounds like something that would end a match.
I'm going to say between the Stone Cold Stunner and the RKO, because both of those, when we talk about pop culture, like those are in pop culture as well. Like I always have non-wrestling fans sending me these compilations of people doing the RKO out of nowhere. Like I haven't seen a million of them already myself. So that lets me know that that's beyond what pro wrestling is. That's in the pop culture, so I'll say that one.
What was your finishing move, Chris Lee?
I used Jimmy Snuka's move. And I called it dead air or something like that. Because I was, from radio, you never wanted to have dead air, so I called it dead air.
Look, you're speaking my language. I was a super fly Jimmy Snuka kid growing up, man. I just wanted to see him on. It was WWF at the time, not WWE, and I watched it every Saturday night. Right before or right after the NFL Game of the Week, an NFL Films production. So we'll close on the Carolina Panthers before we let Chris Lee, who I think is boarding a plane to somewhere, and I want to let you board your plane and do whatever it is you have to do. Can you close your eyes and see Sam Darnold starting week one?
No, I can't. I think you don't bring Baker Mayfield to the Panthers if you're not thinking that he's going to be able to start for you week one and that he probably should start for you week one. I don't think that you bring him simply to have competition with Sam. You bring him so that you can start pushing Sam to the side because you realize that this isn't the future. This isn't the person that you're going to want to sign after, you know, this season is over. So there's no way Sam Darnold starts week one unless Baker really sucks it up in training camp.
I 100% agree. I just cannot close my eyes and see Sam Darnold, barring an injury. I can't see him starting week one. And this is no knock on Sam. I think we all think that Baker Mayfield, to whatever degree, is an upgrade over Sam Darnold. Chris Lee, WRAL, TV5.
Did you see the video that the Panthers put out today? Baker Mayfield laying it out to Robbie Anderson.
It was a great throw.
He lays out to get the grab. It was amazing.
It was a great throw and a great catch and a big catch for Robbie Anderson, because I know Terrace Marshall has had a good training camp so far. I mean, we've only been doing this for a week. We haven't even been doing it. Today was day 7 of training camp, so we're so far away. We're still more than a week away from the first preseason game. But, yeah, it was a big catch for Robbie with IE now, because we have to remember that it's Robbie with an IE. Chris Lee, enjoy your flight. Safe travels. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. All right. We covered. Look, we did wrestling and we did football, all within the same conversation. Wrestling and football together.
My kind of segment.
It's a wonderful thing. Man, we have covered it all. We were serious. We talked serious stuff.
Yeah.
We talked.
And we also talked football.
It's a very good point. When we come back, speaking of football, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
We are going to Jacksonville. So our tour began in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to
East Rutherford. I went to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, then East Rutherford, then Indy, then Tampa.
Yep.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
All of the great things to do in Jacksonville. It's going to be a short segment. Next.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
I'm fascinated by this. The Guardian cap that is being used in the NFL. And we're going to take you to Jacksonville
it
in a second
like
here.
Cerebro.
It looks like brain.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's kind of strangely appropriate that the whole point, and they're being worn by offensive and defensive linemen, linebackers, and am I like running backs?
I'm not sure. I know at least linemen and linebackers are.
There's like four position groups, maybe tight ends. There are four position groups, I think, that are wearing them. Anybody that operates around the line of scrimmage should have to wear them, or is being asked, told to wear them, and it's through the second week of the preseason. Now, we didn't even get to it with Will Brinson yesterday, but did you see Robert Saleh's, the Jets head coach, his complaint isn't about wearing them. His complaint is that his assertion through, at this point, like 4 days of training camp, is that players are more inclined to use their heads during practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would lead to more tackling, leading with the head for games.
Yeah.
And I'm simply going to say, stop it.
I'll push back on that for the simple fact that if you feel comfortable because, like, oh, I've got more protection and stuff here during camp, well, yeah, your technique's going to go down in terms of not leading with your head, or you will use it more. So when you take it off, yeah, I see where he's coming from in that regard.
But here's where I say stop it, is because the assertion is that none of the coaches are watching. Because as soon as that happens, hey, guys, we can't do that.
Yeah.
The idea should be you should coach. you should coach. Fellas, can't do that.
Yeah.
You, whatever your name is, tackling with your brain, don't do that. Just because you have a brain on the outside of your helmet, let's use the one that's on the inside of your helmet. Mm. That's not the way we're I understand what you're saying. I just think that that was a creative way of complaining about the silliness of the look. Because that's really what people were complaining about first. And I don't think Robert Saleh wanted to complain about, man, this looks too goofy. Because I assume it's very light and not adding weight to the occasion. I assume that it's light.
Some guy said they notice a little bit of a difference, but it doesn't impact
sure,
what they do.
Because you can't go underneath the P Street Bridge.
Well, yes.
That would be interesting. Get stuck with one of those Guardian caps on your helmet underneath the P Street Bridge.
Look like Krang from Ninja Turtles wearing those things.
So that was creative on the part of Robert Saleh. I'm just not necessarily buying it as gospel and or buying it as a problem. I honestly don't know what purpose it really serves. Mm-hmm. To be honest, so I mean, when we get into the heat of games, players are going to do what players have always done.
Yeah.
Which is take chances. So, but if it saves people in practice, then it saves people in practice. That would be good too. All right. It's time to go on a tour. We started in Cleveland, went to Philly, then East Rutherford, then Indy, then Tampa. We're in Jacksonville. Dennis has a training camp tour.
Yes.
Of Jacksonville.
Oh, yes.
All right, what do we have? Where can we go? Where can we eat?
Yes, Jacksonville. Let's, well, first of all, take a stroll on the Riverwalk. That's right, we're going to go to the banks of the St. John's River in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville has a Riverwalk.
Yes.
How many cities have Riverwalks?
All of them.
Like, Indy's got a Riverwalk. I like Indy's Riverwalk. I've done, it's a good place to run.
Okay.
In Indy.
Sure, it's very flat.
San Antonio's Riverwalk.
Oh, that's a very famous one.
Spectacular. I don't know why the color of the water is that color. It's a green that's frightening.
Yeah.
But I did not know Jacksonville had a Riverwalk.
New Orleans does.
New
Mississippi,
Orleans?
Mississippi River runs.
I've not been. I've been to New Orleans like three times. I have not been to the Riverwalk.
I mean, I guess you can walk. I mean, there's stuff alongside the river. Yes.
I know New Orleans in general smells bad.
There is that. Take a stroll along the Riverwalk down there in Jacksonville. Also stop by Treaty Oak Park while you're there.
Treaty Oak?
Yes, Treaty Oak Park. You can see some southern live oaks, 250 plus years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice. 250-year-old plus old live oak, whatever I just tried to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big tree.
Those
are some big trees.
Massive trees. Also, if you want to get outdoors a little bit more, make sure you head over to Daly's Place. It's actually basically attached to TIA Bank Stadium where the Jaguars play.
Daly's Place?
Yes, Daly's Place.
As in John Daly's Place?
No.
Okay.
Just Daly's Place. It's an outdoor venue, concert venue.
Oh, okay.
So you can check out some stuff there if you wanted to. Or you can head to the Florida Theater for movies.
The Florida Theater?
Yes, Florida Theater. Apparently a very popular place. You can watch movies, concerts, including, for example, coming early next month, Jim Gaffigan's going to be doing stand-up sets for a few days. Or they're going to be showing in a few days a screening of the old movie Matilda.
Interesting.
I like it a lot. Matilda was a
interesting
good movie.
Interesting.
Matilda was a very good movie.
So, like,
I felt for the kid that had to eat that whole chocolate cake.
I never saw the movie.
Wow.
So yesterday we talked about the Tampa Theater.
Yeah.
This is the Florida Theater.
Yes, the Florida Theater.
Right. Is there a tour of Tim Tebow's childhood home? Isn't he a Jacksonville kid?
Well, Jacksonville area.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Jacksonville area.
Well, can I go to Tim Tebow's house?
I mean, I don't think you can stay in Jacksonville, though. That's the thing.
Oh, I see.
The Florida Theater was built in 1927.
Oh, God. Got to go then if it's built then.
Yes. So, yeah, a lot of old architecture. So, very similar to the theater that we mentioned yesterday in Tampa, the Florida Theater, built in 1927. So we got all that old architecture, definitely some cool things to check out there for sure. Also, I know we're not going to get into football itself or the Jaguars, but right. This is where the world's largest cocktail party takes place.
The
Florida,
outdoor.
Georgia, yeah.
They don't want to call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party anymore.
Or Kirby Smart doesn't, I think, right?
Yeah, I think both schools have kind of tried to move past that. I think the fans still call it that.
Sure.
But
we'll,
I think
we'll
the
call
schools
it that.
Have moved past it. You know, they used to play, Kentucky and Tennessee used to play for an old beer barrel.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, I'm not making fun of this at all, but I think it was a couple, I don't know how many years ago, it's probably got to be 20 years ago now, like a couple of days or weeks before the game, somebody was killed in one of the players, I think, was killed in a drunk driving accident. Mm. So they stopped calling it the beer barrel game or something like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not complaining, but it used to be, they used to play for a beer barrel. They probably still do. They just don't call it that.
They just call it a barrel. Maybe.
Maybe.
They just say, hey, you're playing for a barrel.
Playing for this thing. It's a coffee table.
There you go.
It's an old wagon wheel.
It's an old wagon wheel. Also, check out the donut shop while you're there.
Of course.
The donut shop.
The donut shop in Jacksonville is probably inside of like a Food Line. No offense, I'm not making fun of anybody.
Well, this is Donut Shop with two P's and an E.
Oh, Shoppy.
Yeah, Shoppy.
Does
so
it
it's
say
Donut Shoppy.
Ye Old?
No, Ye Old Donut Shoppy.
Because if you're going to be Shoppy with a P, extra P and an E, then you have to be Ye Old with an E at the end of old.
Okay.
Ye Old Donut Shop.
Ye Old Donut Shop. No, this is just the Donut Shoppy, but it's been around since 1962. So it's got a little tenure to it.
It's older than Tampa's donut place.
Yeah, which was
like 97 or something like that.
Not even, I don't think. But it's definitely not as old as like Frangilli's or some of those other places.
Yes.
Jack Frost Donuts, 1937.
1937, man. They've been making donuts since before your grandparents were born.
62, though. There you are. 62, there you are. But that's it. It's Jacksonville. There's not a whole lot to do in Jacksonville.
I covered the first ACC football championship game in Jacksonville between Florida State and Virginia Tech. And I think Florida State won it.
Okay.
Marcus Vick was the quarterback of Virginia Tech at the time.
Oh, Marcus?
Marcus Vick, not Michael Vick. Marcus Vick. And I remember being in Jacksonville and going, man, there's nothing to do here.
Yeah.
So... this show not sponsored by the Jacksonville Tourism and Visitors Bureau, but there was not a lot in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not that far from the PGA Tour headquarters, but who cares? Who wants to go there? They're moving the World Golf Hall of Fame away from that area.
Oh, really?
The World Golf Hall of Fame, I believe, is coming to Pinehurst.
Did not realize there was a World Golf Hall of Fame.
Oh, come on. It's an everything Hall of Fame.
True.
Isn't there a World Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Well, yeah. It's the WWE Hall of Fame.
Where is it?
There is no physical location.
Oh, there's no physical?
No, there's no physical location.
What are they doing?
It's just a ceremony.
It's tourism.
That's it, man.
They could put that in, like, Branson, Missouri. People would have a reason to go to Branson, Missouri.
There you go.
I guess there's a reason to go to Branson, Missouri. I haven't figured it out yet, but...
Well, they're not on our state. They're not on our city tour list, I can tell you that. Not
there you
Branson,
go.
Missouri. Next... city that we are going to hit, Glendale, Arizona.
That's tomorrow.
Because we have the Cardinals.
Oh, man.
But I have pulled from my trusty Duncan Cup the Raiders.
Thursday. Oh, we're going to Vegas on
the
Thursday.
The Raiders.
I'm sorry I'm going to miss that. Hayes will have to take over for that.
That's going
to
be a...
Hayes, if he's interested, might tell you stories about Glendale.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Should we save Glendale for Thursday?
No,
then?
No.
Okay.
I'm interested in Glendale.
Okay.
Literally one of the coolest places I have ever been, ever, is in Glendale, Arizona. A place called the Wrigley Mansion. I think it's related to the original owners of the Cubs, but
okay. Not the gum.
It was not. Well, no, that's the same.
I know.
My fault. But the they had this giant, I mean, huge mansion where they held, the NCAA held a party, like a welcome party for the media. And it was massive, and it sits on the top of this hill that was just a stunning place to be. In Glendale, Arizona, far away from anything. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow on the program.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.